Revelation letter. We've been studying for some weeks, and our lesson today in the 9th chapter is a continuation of the things we studied in the 8th chapter, the sounding of the 7 trumpets. In the beginning of the 8th chapter, John witnessed the opening of the 7th and last seal of that book that was sealed, the 7 seals in chapter 5. And when that seal was opened, John saw 7 angels stand before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. Each of those trumpets had, each of those angels had a message to deliver with each one a trumpet. And we studied where 4 of those 7 trumpets were sounded in chapter 8. And John recorded there what he saw happen on the earth as each one sounded. In the 13th and last verse of that chapter, John said he heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe, to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the 3 angels which are yet to sound." There were 3 of the 7 trumpets yet to sound, and John pronounced a woe upon, this angel did, upon the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, 1 woe for each one of these trumpets. As we begin our lesson in chapter 9 today, we begin with the sounding of that 5th trumpet, which was the first of those 3 remaining trumpets. And the 5th angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now we want to keep in mind that we are studying here symbolic language. Also, that we are studying spiritual things that are symbolized by temporal things. John said, first of all, a star fell from heaven. This was not a literal star. The pronoun him used in that verse to designate that angel shows us that it was a person. We learned in chapter 1 that a star symbolizes angels. Angels are messengers. This was a messenger fell from heaven, not from the eternal city where God is, but from heavenly places here on earth, from the church. This was a great leader in the church. And John said he fell from heaven to the earth. That is, he fell back into sin. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, a key symbolizes the power or instrument to open something. To open the bottomless pit. And he opened that bottomless pit. Before we try to define what that bottomless pit is, let us notice what happened when it was opened. There arose a great smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Smoke symbolizes something that obscures vision. It gets in the way, it clouds the air. You can't see far. It hurts our eyes. And when we remember that we're talking about spiritual things, we're talking about something that obscures spiritual vision. And it came out of that pit. What can obscure spiritual vision but false doctrine, false teaching, something to muddy the water, to cloud the air, so that we can't see the light of the truth? That's exactly what is symbolized here. False doctrine came out of this pit. Where does false doctrine come from? It comes from the minds of men, the imagination of man's heart. That's what I believe this pit symbolizes. It's the only thing that will fit the picture. Because 3 times in the early chapters of the book of Genesis, the imagination of man's heart is mentioned by God as being evil continually and from his youth. In the 7th chapter of Mark's gospel, Jesus said, in verse 23, several verses there are included, but he sums it up in 23, as the heart of man being the source from which all evil thoughts come. everything that defiles the man comes from within, from the man's heart. We're talking about a bottomless pit. We know that a pit is a hole. Usually we think of the pit as a hole in the ground, but they all have bottoms. But we're talking about something that's limitless, something that's without a bottom. Physically, that is impossible. But spiritually, symbolically, we're talking about something that is limitless, a depth. And there's no limit to what can originate in the imagination of man's heart. When we think about all the inventions and all the things that have come forth from man's heart from the beginning of time, scientifically, spiritually, and otherwise, all of the false doctrines of religion that have come contrary to that that God has revealed, where did it originate? It originated in the heart of man. Satan had a part in putting it there, but it came forth into the world out of man. And I believe that's what is symbolized here by the bottomless pit. The smoke came out of there. It darkened the sun and the air. What is the sun? The sun is the only source of life that the world has. Spiritually, what is the spiritual source of life? The Word of God. It darkened it. It darkened the spiritual atmosphere, the air, so that these people could not see and know the truth. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth. Power. Let us notice now, something came out of the smoke. This didn't come out of the pit. The smoke came out of the pit. And we've established that the smoke is false doctrine. Locusts came out of that. False doctrine breeds more false teachers. The locust had power as the power of the scorpion. What is the power of a scorpion? It's in his tail to sting and to hurt. But let us notice, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 15, the prophet Isaiah speaking about the head and the tail of Israel. He said, the ancient and the honorable is the head. The prophet that prophesies lies is the tail. So we have there symbolized a tail symbolizing false prophets, false teachers. They came out of the smoke. The false doctrine breeds false teachers. And these teachers were the locusts, with the power of a scorpion. The scorpion is the power of the scorpion in his tail. The power of a scorpion is to hurt men. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, either any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Now let us notice the symbols in that verse. First, they could not hurt the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree. We're not talking about literal grass, literal green vegetation, or trees. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, God's people are symbolized as trees. In the first chapter of 1 Peter, in the 22nd verse, the entire human race is symbolized as grass, withered, and the flower thereof falleth away. In the realm of nature, we know that anything green symbolizes life. So when he talks about grass and green things and trees, he's talking about spiritually live people. They cannot hurt them. Only those people that had not the mark God in their forehead. Remember back in chapter 7, we studied there where everything was held up until the servants of God were sealed in their forehead. And we said that the seal with which they were sealed was the Holy Ghost. That is, the Holy Ghost was the agent, the instrument was the word of truth. When they were made known the truth of God in their forehead, in the center of their intellect, false teaching could not affect them. These false teachers could not deceive nor destroy those people that had the seal of God in their forehead, but only those that didn't have. Those people that didn't have the knowledge of God in their forehead. These were the ones that these false teachers were to hurt. And to them, it was given that they should not kill them, not even the ones they could hurt, they were not to be killed, but that they should torture them 5 months, and that the torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. Now then, I'm told that when a scorpion strikes a man, it renders him numb, insensitive to feeling. It paralyzes, so to speak. All right. these scorpions, these locusts, as the scorpion, they were given not to kill people, not even the wicked people, but to hurt them for 5 months. And the torment was as if a scorpion strikes a man. Let us break that down to the spiritual realm and see what we have. First of all, the 5 months. Taken prophetically, we did it to days, 30 days to the month, we have 150 days. In prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 24, God said, I give you a day for a year. Convert that to years and you have 150 years that these people were to be tormented with this torment. And what are we talking about? We're talking about spiritual. Something. We're talking about false teaching. In the 11th century, one of the popes of Rome invented the doctrine of purgatory. And the indulgence-selling preachers of that doctrine would sell people the idea that they had to pay every hard-earned dollar that they could earn to these priests to pray their sins away, to pray their soul and the soul of their loved one out of purgatory. This doctrine lasted far more than 150 years, but it was in the zenith of its power for 150 years. And these people rendered such spiritual confusion, robbing them of their source of living financially, and they put them in poverty and in such spiritual confusion till the people wished they were dead. And in chapter 6 it says, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. These people robbed of everything they had to live for in this life, and in fear of torment that they preached to them, if they didn't keep paying this, they made life so miserable, people prayed to die. Then we turn to the description more of these locusts. Verse 7, the shapes of the locusts were like the horses prepared, likened to horses prepared in the battle. And on their head were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Now let us notice those symbols. Like horses prepared for battle, they were a devouring force. They had crowns like gold on their head. Gold symbolizes purity, truth. But these were false teachers. But the crowns were like gold. Anything that's like gold is not gold, it's counterfeit. And that shows the counterfeit of their crown, of their victory. It was temporary. Their faces were like men. That betrayed the identity. They were just men. And they were wicked men. They had hair as the hair of women, and the teeth were the teeth of lions. What does that hair like women symbolize? Femininity. Virtue. Innocence. The weaker sex. The Catholic doctrine preaches a doctrine of celibacy. Everything, every officer from the priest up, the nuns, the sisters, they all have to be celibate. They can't marry. They're supposed to be physically virtuous, pure. That is their claim. Anyone who knows the history of the Catholic priesthood knows that it's just the opposite. The greatest immoral scandal known to mankind, of immorality and impurity, adultery, homosexuality, it is a known fact. But that's their claim, celibacy, purity. They claim to be pure, but let us know they have teeth as lions, a devouring force. That shows how wicked, destructive they are. They had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running the battle. Breastplates of iron, strength, wings. In Ezekiel's prophecy, wings symbolized voices, words. And it was by their voices, by their words, by their teaching that they brought on all this destruction. They had tails likened to scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. I believe we've already covered that pretty well, even before we got to this part of it. It's symbolized by the scorpions there. Stings in their tails with power to hurt men 5 months. 150 years of destruction that caused men to pray to die. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Remember, the smoke came out of the bottomless pit. That's where it started. But they had a king over them, these locusts did, which was the angel, the messenger off that bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. In the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. Translate that into English and you have Satan. And Satan is the king and the author of all false teachers. He is the king over all false teachers, false prophets, false doctrines. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Remember, at the beginning of this chapter, there were three woes. Three trumpets yet to sound, and three woes. One is past, he said, we've studied one. Two more come hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. This voice comes from before the throne of God, that John heard, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet that had just sounded, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, a year, to slay the third part of men. Now let us notice, this angel was told, loose some angels that are bound. What are they bound in? The river Euphrates. And they have a mission. Their mission is for a month, an hour, a day, a month, a year, to slay the third part of men. Now, let us interpret that, the symbolism here, as best we can. Angels were messengers. They were to be loosed. They were bound. What were they bound in? The river Euphrates. What is the river Euphrates? We go back to Genesis, the second chapter, and the first mention of the river Euphrates is one of four rivers that watered the Garden of Eden, where the humanity started on the earth. But later, it historically became the source of water and the source of life to the ancient city of Babylon, a city known for its bondage of God's people. When we talk about Babylon, either literally or symbolically, we think of bondage. But we're talking about spiritual things. This river Euphrates was the source of life to ancient Babylon, which was the city of bondage. We translate that into spiritual, and we're talking about the source of life to spiritual bondage. What is spiritual bondage? False doctrine, we've just been talking about. The source of life of this spiritual bondage came from false teaching. It came from the city of Rome, to be exact. But it came out of the hearts of men, just like we're talking about. And he said, loose these angels. They're bound, what? Not only by, but in this river. This river of confusion, of false doctrine, of smoke that came out of that pit. They're to be loosed. How can you loose them? Only by the light of the gospel. Only by the light of the truth. I believe this symbolizes the Reformation period of some 400 years in Europe, when the Bible began to be translated back into languages that people could understand, and it caused spiritual warfare. It caused, as a result of that, until men learned the truth, physical and carnal war. We're going to show here these angels had a mission, and that mission was for an hour, a day, a month, and a year. You translate that into days and then into years, and you have almost 400 years. That is one third of the period of the Dark Ages. That is the period of time, the last 400 years of the Dark Ages, when men was coming out from under it. First by some light, then by war, strife, struggle that killed men and shed more blood than any period in the history of the world. Let us notice now, to kill one third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number then. 200,000,000 horsemen. That's 200 million. No time in history has ever known that many more military forces at one time. History tells us that it represents the entire military force of the whole world for 400 years, from the 14th through the 18th century. Now then, that would be up to 1900. He said, thus were the horses in the vision, them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And when we think of fire, smoke, and brimstone, where does it come from? Ignite gunpowder, and that's exactly what you have. Smoke, fire, and brimstone. And that was the mode of fighting ever since gunpowder was invented in the 14th century. In a period of time that one third of the entire human race upon the earth was killed by war. And that's what we read here. One third of men should be killed with this. For their powers in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were likened to serpents. They had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, that which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorcerers, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. After all this turmoil, this false doctrine, the cloud of the air, and then the light coming back causing war, strife, and bloodshed to kill one third of the human race, we still find the world unrepentant. This is a state that existed before the restoration, the Reformation finally resulted in the restoration of the true light of the gospel being brought back to the true church which was established back upon the earth. That is my understanding from the history that I have and the interpretation of the symbolic language to the very best of my ability, with the help from some of the best scholars of the world, that I can interpret this to be. And this brings us up to some 150, 200 years ago in time, this chapter does. But as we go into the 10th chapter, Revelation, we continue the acts under this one trumpet. We haven't finished yet the acts resulting from the sounding of this sixth trumpet. And there's yet one more trumpet to sound. We will read about the sounding of that seventh trumpet when we get into the 11th chapter of Revelation. But we don't want to get that far ahead of ourselves. Let's just take it as it comes. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, we want to study the 10th chapter of Revelation. Let me urge each of you to take your Bibles in the privacy of your home this week and read this 9th chapter, the 8th, and the 9th chapter that we studied last Sunday or several Sundays ago, and the 9th chapter that I talked about today, and then study this 10th chapter and come back next Sunday, the Lord willing, and let's see what we can get out of it.